So I can't help but notice that there are a lot of horses in Arizona. I mean, every time I turn a corner, it seems like two or three of them in some guy's front yard. It's just a big thing around here. In fact, I just heard a story about a guy who wanted to buy a horse. And he found one on Craigslist, so he went out to take a look at it. Well, when he got there, he found out the guy selling it, of all things, was an old preacher. Right? The preacher shows him the horse, so he says he wants to take it for a ride. Do you test drive horses? I don't know. He wanted to, right? So he gets up on the horse. He says, now hold on there, young fella. He says, this has been my horse, so it's got special commands. If you want the horse to go, you have to say, praise the Lord. If you want the horse to stop, you have to say, amen. The guy kind of smirks at him. He says, okay. He says, praise the Lord. Sure enough, the horse starts walking. He says, well, this is pretty cool. He says, praise the Lord. The horse starts trotting. He goes, well, praise the Lord. Full gallop. He's just going across the countryside. But he looks up, and there's a cliff, a huge drop-off in front of him. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Finally goes, oh, amen, amen. The horse stops just shy of going over the cliff. Relieved. The guy says, praise the Lord. Today, we're continuing on with Worship Matters, and we're focusing in on praise and prayer. It's one of the ways in which we respond back to God. It's part of the ebb and flow that we've already seen in our service. God invites us into his presence. We respond in song. God invites us to confess to him. We respond with our confession. And then God comes to us and announces the forgiveness, and we respond with praise to him. That's how service goes. God serves us, and then we serve God. The primary way in which we serve God and we respond to God is through prayer and praise. Think about prayer. Think about that for just a moment. You get to be in the presence of the all-powerful, almighty, eternal God. And you get to speak to him words of thanksgiving, petitions of things that you have on your heart, and even praise. Because praise really is a form of prayer as we're talking to God. Let's take a look at praise. Praise, by definition, is this. It is the expression of approval or commendation or applause. It's not that God needs our approval, not that he needs our commendation, but we are so awestruck by God and who he is, then we commend him. We applaud God, if you will, just for being who he is. That's what praise is all about. Well, let's dig in then. Let's dig into this whole idea of praise so that our worship services are even more meaningful than they are right now. And so we just have to ask a couple questions. The first question is obvious. Why do we praise God? We do it in every service, whether it be traditional or contemporary, but why is it that we praise God? Well, the first answer is this. You were created to. We were created to praise God. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. The people I form for myself that they may proclaim my praise. Now, it isn't that God needs a cheering squad. It isn't that God decided to create all of us to fill his ego so that he could receive all this praise and accolades. That's not it. By design, by creation, we were designed and made to live in a relationship with God. And when you live in a relationship with God, there's always an ebb and a flow. There's always, it goes both ways. They come to you, you respond back. So it is with God. By our very design, God comes to us, and we respond back to God with praise. It's part of creation. That's why, did you notice Jesus talking to the Pharisees? The Pharisees are all upset. Why don't you quiet these people down? They're sounding these hosannas and giving you praise. I almost imagine Jesus has got a smirk on his face, and he says, I'll tell you what, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. That's just how creation is. It's the relationship between God and his people, between God and his creation. We were created to praise God. Second thing, why do we praise God? Because he's worthy to be praised. State the obvious. He's worthy of our praise for all that he has done for us. So let's take a look at the Psalms. Psalm 18. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. You go to Psalm 103, he gets a little bit deeper. Well, what is it that makes God worthy of our praise. The psalmist writes this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget all the things that God has done for you, all the things, the blessings that God has showered upon you. So he continues on. "Who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things." Everything that we have comes from God. Every good thing in our life comes from God. All that you possess, all of those that you love, everything comes from God's hand. He wouldn't hold anything back. He didn't even hold his son back, but willingly gave him up for you so that you could be saved. So everything from life to forgiveness to salvation to eternity, all that has been given to you from God. He is worthy of our praise. And if he's worthy of our praise, he's also worthy of our thanksgiving. Because praise and thanksgiving, they go hand in hand. Listen to this, this is from Ezra. The people were in a shambles, and they're starting to put the temple back together, trying to get Israel back in shape. And it says this, "With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, 'He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever.' And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord had been laid." Praise and thanksgiving go hand in hand. As we praise God, as we commend God, as we have applause for God, inherent in that is thanking him for all that he has done. Lastly, praise. Praise is a response of faith. It's the response of faith. We praise God not only for what he has done, we praise him for what he will do. We're so certain of God and his promises. We don't just dwell on how God has blessed us this past week. We also praise him, for we know he's going to bless us in the weeks to come. It's an act of faith. We're so certain of what God will do, we praise him for that. Great example of that is Job. Job chapter 2. By the second chapter of Job, he's been wiped out. He's lost all of his fortune. He's lost all of his family. How does chapter 2 end? Job says this, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What? He's so confident in his God, so confident that God still has plans for him, that even though he's wiped out, even in that moment, he praises God as a response to faith, knowing what God has in store for him. Praise. We're created to praise. We were designed that way by God himself. God is worthy of our praise for all the things he's done for us. We want to express our thanksgiving to him for all that he has done. We want to respond in our faith. As God comes to us, then we respond back to him with our praise. All right, now here's the tough question. How do we praise him? How do we praise God? All right, we do it all the time in worship, but really, what does that look like? And I want to bring us up to a 10,000-foot level, because we have all different styles of worship. Right? Here at Risen Savior, we've got contemporary with the choir and the timpani and the brass that were knocking it out of the park at 7:30 to the praise team who was knocking it out of the park at 8:50 and 10:10. So there's a wide variety, but overarching that, all right, how is it that we praise God? I put a lot of thought into this, and this is what I come up with. There is a balance between reverence and revelry. Balance between reverence, because we are in the presence of God, and there should be some awe in that. But then it also shouldn't put you to sleep. And then on the other end of the scale, there's revelry, which sounds kind of chaotic to me, sort of uncontrolled and maybe not quite as respectful. So a balance between reverence and revelry is how we praise God. Example, I don't know how many times over the years, excited, well-meaning people have come up to me and says, "Why don't we praise God the same way that we get excited at a football game? Or at a basketball game, or a baseball game, or sporting events. When they score a point, the whole crowd erupts. Why don't we erupt like that in praises to God?" Well, I think there's two different things going on here. Usually at a sporting event, something like that, there's a whole lot of exuberance, and there's sometimes even a lot of chaos and uncontrolled things that happen. But more importantly to me is this. If we're honest with ourselves, the sports team are more about us than about them. So they score a point, and we say, "We scored." They get into the end zone. We scored. They win the game. We won. It's more about us. Because when they lose, they lost. In praise, it's all about God. It's not about us. It's a response to what God has done for us. And so praise has to be about God. It should be joy-filled, but there should also be a sense of awe that you're in the presence of God. There should be exuberance, there should be energy, there should be excitement, but there also should be respect, and there should be honor. It should be heartfelt and sincere as God displays his love for us, and we want to display our love for him. There needs to be an element of reverence in our worship. But it doesn't need to be a funeral dirge. If we spend all of our time staring at our shoes instead of lifting up our eyes to heaven, something's wrong. If we give the impression in worship that we'll praise God, but we're not going to be happy about it, then something's wrong. If the expression on our face is stoic or expressionless, and it's not full of smiles, then there's something wrong. If worship puts you to sleep, something's wrong. Because worship and praise should be joy-filled. It should be enthusiastic. It should have energy behind it as we lift up that praise to God. There has to be a balance between reverence and revelry. All right, let's get down to the nuts and bolts. Let's see praise in Scripture. What does it look like? What does praise look like in Scripture? So we'll start with this one, Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to joy for cries of joy. Clap our hands? Yeah, I see some of you out there. I know it's hard, right? You know, we grew up saying that we're not supposed to clap in church, right? That we're not supposed to have applause in church. I don't believe that. And I just might have some biblical evidence on the other side of things here, right? But the applause, the clapping that we have, where is it directed at? It's directed towards God. So whether that's during a song where you're joining in with the praise team and you're clapping along because that's one way in which you're expressing your joy and praise to God, or whether you're responding because maybe there's a solo or maybe there's a choir piece and you are moved to respond with applause, that applause is directed to God and the gifts that he has given his people. It's one of the ways in which we praise God. It's clapping our hands. It's applause, but it's directed towards God. Let's look at the next one. So now we'll look at Psalm 134. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Now, I know that's uncomfortable for some folks, and that's okay. So this isn't a mandate as far as, you know, raising your hands during worship, right? But the psalmist has a point. For instance, tell me the difference between this and this. Here, we're closed. Here, we're open. When we have our hands apart, at least, or if we have our arms lifted up, we're opening ourselves up to God. We're being vulnerable with God. We're worshiping him with all that we are and all that we have, uninhibited, worshiping and praising God. Now, I need to share with you, after the 7:30 service, Pastor Mark here shared with me that we sang a song right after the sermon. He said there were people throughout the sanctuary with their arms lifted up. I have some high expectations this morning. Just give it a try as far as being open to God with arms and hands lifted up to him, being open. All right, let's take a look at Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Do you feel the energy in that? There's enthusiasm there. There's excitement there to be praising God for all that he has done. One last one. We'll go to the New Testament, Colossians. Paul is talking here. He's sort of wrapping things up. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. The message of Christ and all that he has done for us, that dwells among us. Well, what does that do to us? It says, then you can teach, admonish one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, and singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There's something about lifting up our voices to God and singing praises to him. Whether you can sing very well or whether you don't sing very well, we lift up our voices to God in praise. And the funny thing is that our own spirits are lifted along with them. Because we're doing something which comes naturally to us. We're praising God. And you were created to praise God, to live in a relationship with him. He certainly is worthy of your praise. And he's worthy of our thanksgiving. And in faith, we know that he'll continue to be faithful to us. So we look for ways in which we can respond to God and we worship him. Well, folks, I can't just stand here and talk about praising God for 20 minutes. We need to do it. So would you stand up? We're going to sing a song that goes across contemporary and traditional lines. I'm sure that you know it. It's the doxology. And I say, let's lift up maybe our hands and our voices to our God.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Father in heaven, we offer up our worship and praise to you. You've created us this way. You are worthy of all the praise that we could muster and offer to you. With thanksgiving in our heart, we offer ourselves this time and our praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.